Okay, as a hakdama to the 3 weeks, I want to learn together a beautiful piece that is not really found anywhere else besides in the Sefer we're going to learn from right now. And most people don't learn this part of the Sefer, so I think it'll be something that I think almost everybody here has probably not heard from before. I think many of us are familiar with the Sweet Eish, Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg, who was the last Rav of Berlin before the Holocaust, a Gaon Atzum, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, Talmud of the Alter Slabodka, and one of the greatest poskim of pre and post Holocaust. So his tshuvos, which people learn from every single day, are collected in the four volumes of the Sweet Eish. There's been new printings and things have been rearranged, but that's essentially our the major work. At the end of the fourth volume, that's the one I have over here. At the end of the fourth volume, so Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg prints a number of personal reflections of the different gedolim, the different rabbanim, the different Torah personalities that he had come across in his life. And first and foremost, on those expositions and those biographies and these pieces that he writes about are of his primary Rebbe, the Alter Slabodka. And in one of those pieces, he shares with us, the reader, a really beautiful, a profound, and a very hard but honest view of the days we're about to begin in the 3 weeks, and an insight into the episode of perhaps the story of these times, the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and how a Jew is supposed to prepare themselves and to fix, and how to relate to how one can change in the face of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. But just before we begin that, I want to begin with an idea that's based on a thought of the Chidah. The Chidah writes in a sefer, one of his drushes, Dvar Machadim. I'm going to paraphrase what the Chidah is talking about. But let's imagine for a moment that there was a beautiful building in a certain city, and the local government knocked down the building because it didn't have the building permits, and it was an illegal construction. It did not have the right to be here. Now, a normal person would not go to the government and say, "Can you please build the building before having the permits?" They would make sure they have the permits first, and then they would go and have the building built properly. Because they certainly won't be listened to. His request is going to be denied. If you don't have the proper papers, you're unable to now go and build the building. No amount of begging, crying, tears are going to make a difference unless you have the right papers to go and to build the building. And we have to understand, says the Chidah, that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he stated that that building was an illegal structure. It did not have the right to be there anymore based on the circumstances of what was allowed at that time. Why? Because we did not have the proper permits. We didn't have the papers to allow that building to stand there. And therefore, we try to know which essential document is missing from the construction. What permits do I need to have this building rebuilt again for it to be valid? It's not enough, says the Chidah, to cry 3 times a day, Yerushalayim Ircha. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that the important documents that we are missing is Avas Chinam. We don't have the permits for the Beis HaMikdash because we don't have the papers to say that we no longer suffer from Sinas Chinam. And therefore, if we want to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we have to have the right documents. And the documents need to be stamped Avas Chinam instead of Sinas Chinam. And that, says the Chidah, is the opening statement of the 3 weeks. So how now do we stamp our papers? How do we get the permit papers to allow us to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? So the Sweet Eish of Weinberg writes that in the summers, Gedolei Lita would travel to the city of Krems, which was a city in Prussia, which is now Russia. And during those times, the young Rabbi Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg would go on walks with his Rebbe, the Alter Slabodka, Rabbi Nassim Tzvi Finkel. And in one of those walks, as they were walking in the beautiful summertime in Prussia, so Rabbi Nassim Tzvi turned to his Talmud, and he said to him, "I want to talk with you about the following idea. I have a kasha. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tainus in Perakei, Yesh sham yamim shekol Yisrael misanim behem b'fnei hatzaros. There are days that the Jewish people fast because of tragedies. Shiru behem that occurred to them. Kedei lo'orer halavavos. The purpose of fasting today was to awaken the heart. Darchei tshuva, in the path of tshuva. Vaya zikaron lema'aseinu harayim. It is a remembrance of our bad actions. Umaisa v'aseinu, the actions of our forefathers. Sheyeh kema'aseinu, which were just like ours. Atad shegarim lahem v'lanu osataras. That caused for them and to us the difficulties that we face. What are the ma'aseinu harayim, the Rambam, referring to? What, he says, what are these evil actions that we fasted about today? So the answer, says the altar, is obviously the famous Gemara in Yuma. Mikdash Rish Mipnei Macharev. Why was the first base of Mikdash destroyed? Mipnei Gimel Dvarim Sheyubo, Avodah Zarah, Gilarai, Shvi Chasamim, the three cardinal sins. Avodah Mikdash Sheni, Shehu Oskim B'Torah, Mitzos. They had Torah. They had Mitzos. They had Chesed. Mipnei Macharev, why was it destroyed? Because it had sinas chinam. Lamdecha sheshakula sinas chinam kineged shlosh averos avodah zarah gilarayis v'shichas damim. So the Gemara says, we know what the permits need to be stamped. No more sinas chinam. And that's why it was destroyed. So the altar asked the young Shri Yesh, how are we not shaken by this? The satan of sinas chinam dances before us with no end. And the tsaros and the pain in Klal Yisrael continue to exist. Are we better than our forefathers? Are we better than our babis and our zaydis that came before us? They learned Torah, they did mitzvos, they did chesed, and they were still sent into galus. We learn Torah, we do chesed, we do mitzvos, and we're still sitting in galus. And Chazal wanted to help us get out of the galus. So they established the 3 weeks that we're about to enter into to awaken our hearts, to put us on the path of tshuva, and we ask questions about the minhagim of the 3 weeks, and whether I can go swimming, and can I finish my porch, and can I listen to a cappella music, and all these things. This is, by the way, the altar is talking, not me. And he says, but we don't ask the more important questions. Why are we not texting the rabbanim and asking our rabbis, how can I fix this relationship? How can I work on this machlokas in my family? How can I repair a fragile relationship? How can I speak in a more kind, more gentle manner? People are more interested in, well, if I make a siyum, and is it going to be good for meat, and how am I going to do this, and can I go on this trip? These are the shilas that Rabbanim get during the 3 weeks. But we are all missing the point, says the Altar of Slobodka. Why are we not asking shilas of our Torah leaders about how I can become better in the area of avas chinam and lessen my sinas chinam? So the altar turned to the Shri Yesh and he said, how can it be that people are against or they don't engage in learning Musar? Doesn't the Gemara say, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tafel? I create the Yetzahara and the Torah is the antidote. And the Gemara says in the generation of the Churban, they had Torah. And what happened? The base of English was destroyed. So clearly the Torah learning is not enough to fix it. And they did mitzvos. And they still had sinas chinam. How is it possible to be metaher the lev, says the altar, without learning musar? Those, he says, who are against learning musar are ma'akvim es geula senu upadus nafshenu. They keep the geula from coming and they prevent us from redeeming our neshama. The altar then became very emotional, says the Shri Yesh, and he looked like he was going to cry in public. So you can imagine, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg felt very uncomfortable, but the altar, in true Musar fashion, overcame his emotions. He regained his composure. And then he asked him, do you know the meaning of sinas chinam? So the Shri Yesh said, I know it's sinas chinam. I went to school. Sinas chinam. Jealousy, stinginess, ayin ra, being a not nice person, being a jerk. I know what sinas chinam is. So the altar started to smile at him. And he said, you're saying this because you don't learn in the base medrash of Musar. The Gemara says right after the famous Gemara we just learned. The Gemara says, achronim shelo nisgala avonam. The later sins, the sin of sinas chinam, was not so apparent. It was lo misgal. It was not revealed. They didn't even realize that they had sinas chinam. The sinners themselves don't always realize what they're doing. They have all types of excuses to justify their behavior. And if the person is from, they'll say it's a mitzvah to publicize someone who is mechanef, and this person does Yir Shemayim, and this person has all these problems with them, and the sin of Shechinim is not apparent on the surface, and it's only revealed after a true Cheshbon HaNefesh. If the generation of Chorban Bayis Sheni, says the altar, didn't recognize what they were doing, so how can we sit here in 1923 or 2023 and rattle off a list of al chaitz of what we're doing wrong on their behalf, right? And our forefathers as well sinned. Identifying sin eschinim, says the altar, zelo pashut. It's not so simple. The altar then began to review the famous Gemara in Gittin, just in case we forgot from last year, or is daf up to it? Daf's not up to it yet. So in case you haven't gotten up to it yet in the daf, or you forgot from last year, very quickly, Kamtsim Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa is invited by mistake to this guy's house by accident for a party, happens to be his enemy, and he begs to stay. He gives him one chance, two chances, three chances, says, no, you have to get out. The Rabbanim of Yerushalayim witnessed the whole thing. He's furious, Bar Kamsa, that he was embarrassed in public. He says, I'm going to get back. He goes and he's malshin to the Roman government, and they say, let's test them, they'll bring a korban. And he goes, and before he brings the korban, he puts a mark, a mum, either on the mouth or on the eye of the animal that would pasul it to be brought on behalf of a guy. He comes to the Beis HaMikdash, they have a little shayla, how can we bring it? Maybe if we don't bring it, then the Romans are going to kill us. And if we do bring it, people are going to think you can offer a korban with a mum. And if we kill him for bringing such a korban, so, and for trying to sabotage us in the Beis HaMikdash, people are going to think that you're chay of misa for bringing a korban with a mum. And they decide to do nothing, and they leave it as it is, and the rest of the history unfolds. Ask the altar, why didn't the Rabbanim say something about Bar Kamsa being embarrassed in public? Why were they quiet? Why didn't they speak up? Because it must have been that it wasn't apparent to the Rabbanim that he was doing something wrong, that he was being disgraced for no reason. And the altar says something very, very on point and a beautiful, beautiful idea regarding this Gemara. It's obvious, he says, that Bar Kamsa was not a good guy. It's obvious. We always saw Bar Kamsa was, hurt in public and his feelings were hurt. And, he went, and he obviously was embarrassed in Sinas Chinam, and the story unfolds. Says the Altar of Tzedakah, I want you to take a moment to think about who Bar Kamsa was. He was a sociopath. He was a terrible human being. He went out, and he had the Jewish people destroyed because he was embarrassed at a party. That's not a normal thing for a person to do. There was something wrong with him. All the reasons of the world could have told you that, this guy probably got what he deserved. He was not a nice guy. He was a terrible human being who put a mum on a korban just to get Klal Yisrael in trouble. It was possible for the host to justify, with all the Yerushalayim in the world, that Bar Kamsa was clearly less than a desirable person. And that, says the author, is an important part of this equation. Sofo hochiach al tchilaso, that he was not such a good guy. And it wasn't so hard for people to see, this guy's off. This guy's a disgusting human being. He's probably getting what he deserves to be embarrassed by this party. All of us, says the altar, are experts in finding mumen, in finding problems in other people. We're all experts in that. We're all very good in seeing what's wrong with the other person, but not us. The Maram Shif on that Gemara cites a fascinating medrash that highlights the episode over there. The Medrash says in Eicha Rabbah that Zechariah ben Avkilus, who we'll return to in a moment, was the rabbi who is at the Suda with Bar Kamsa. V'hayasham Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkilus v'aysa safik b'yado limchos l'micha. And he had it in his mind that I should say something, and he said, no, better not, better I should stay quiet. But later on, a few days later, that very same Zechariah ben Avkilus was very pious, and he refused to fulfill the mitzvah of Moridim Velo Malin, to punish somebody who's coming to hurt the Jewish people. Bar Kamsa was a rodef. He was there to destroy and hurt the Jewish people. And Zechariah ben Avkilus was too pious to say, well, I don't know, maybe. Maybe he's right. Maybe we're wrong. It was Sakanas Nefashos for Klal Yisrael. But he was too pious and too afraid that people would think that putting a mum on an animal is Chayiv Misa. maybe killing Bar Kamsa will be fruitless and there won't be any real danger at all. It'll pass over. But he had a din in front of him. He had a halacha mefureshes that someone comes to kill the Jewish people, you are chayiv to stop them. What we see is that the mitzvah of hating a Russia is not for everybody. Nobody is entitled, not everybody is entitled to that mitzvah. Apparently, anavim and humble people like Zechariah ben Avkulus avoid this. They're nervous about themselves, they don't suspect others. So the Gemara tells us, Anvenuso shel Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulus, hechrivos vaseinu. The humility of Zechariah ben Avkulus destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. V'sarfa heichalenu, v'glisanu mi'arseinu, destroyed the heichal and sent us into Galus. Says the Alter of Slobodka, we've all been reading the Gemara wrong. We thought when it said the humility of Zechariah ben Avkulus led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, what it meant was that he was humble by that episode in the Beis HaMikdash, that he didn't stand up. No. It was the humility that he showed at the Suda, that he did not stand up and see a Jew who's being persecuted with his misplaced piety. That's what led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Balak tells us something fascinating, and the Alter says it's very similar to the episode of Zechariah ben Avkulus. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, and it happens to be last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha, that Moshe is buried in an unmarked grave. We all know that we don't know where Moshe is buried. Now, we all have different types of reasons. It shouldn't turn into a place of Makom Avodah Zarah, Moshe's Lamal Min Hazman, whatever it is. The Medrash, Chazal, give us an answer. The Medrash says that it was a punishment for Moshe, because Moshe was inactive during the episode of Zimri and Cusbi in the end of last week's Parsha. Instead, Pinchas had to step up and stop his Chil Hashem. And the Medrash says that when Zimri came before Moshe, and he asked Moshe, and he was holding on to his girlfriend, and he said, Moshe, can I be with this woman? And Moshe said, no, you can't, it's against the Torah. And he said, ah, but you married, and you were with a non-Jewish woman as well, so why is it okay for you, and not okay for me? And Moshe paused. He was weak, he didn't know what to say. And Pinchas came with his spear, and he finished it off. If Pinchas did it, it was L'shem Shemayim. Says the Medrash, Moshe had a suffix. Maybe, I know what the halach is, I should kill this guy, he deserves it. But maybe when I take the spear and I ram it through him, then what? I'm no gay b'davar. I have my own intentions, because I know the Shulchan Aruch says he should die, but also, he kind of just insulted me pretty badly, and my wife, so I kind of want to take it out on him as well. So Moshe said, because I might be no gay b'davar, I might, when I kill him, not do it 100% for pure reasons, I'm going to refrain. But Pinchas was l'shem Shemayim. Pinchas had nothing to do with Zimri, he had no problems, and therefore he did it l'shem Shemayim, and that's why it was okay. Says the Medrash, Moshe's cheshbon, Moshe's calculation, was incorrect in the long run. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Moshe because it was a halacha that he was supposed to do, even if you may have had an ulterior motive. And the Alter explains that when the halacha is before us, we must follow it. And similarly, Zechariah ben Avkulus had a halacha in front of him. The halacha was that a Jew was being embarrassed in public. And the halacha states that he should have stood up and stopped Bar Kamsa from being dragged through the roof. Even though he could have rationalized that Bar Kamsa was a no-goodnik, he was a social reprobate, and he deserved what he was getting. Says the Alter, both Moshe's mistake and the mistake of Zechariah ben Avkulus was that they missed the Cheshbon HaNefesh. They put their sveikos about what to do in front of the halacha. This is the difficulty, says the Alter, when it comes to moral calculations. How do we remove personal calculations from doing the Ratzon Hashem? We often make the mistake of putting our personal negiyos, our feelings about the way we think things should be, in front of what the Torah says that we should act. What and where, says the Alter, or ask the Alter, is the geder or the border of what is right and what is wrong. How can we have the tools to know when we can and when we can't? Why did the Anvenu Suso Shel Zechariah ben Avkulus destroy the Beis HaMikdash? It should have been the deplorable actions of Bar Kamsa. Why doesn't the Gemara say that because of Bar Kamsa the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Because we can't know for sure that Bar Kamtza was a Rasha from the beginning of his life. And this is the second penetrating insight into this Gemara. Bar Kamtza made terrible mistakes. But how am I supposed to know what Bar Kamtza's parents were like, and what his neighbors were like, and what the friends were like in school, and what was going on at home? Says the Altar, I don't know how Bar Kamtza grew up to become the type of person that he did. He grew up in an atmosphere of Sinas Chinam. There was Sinas Chinam all over Yerushalayim. In such an environment, even a regular person can become a Rasha. And the truth, says the Altar, is that Sinas Chinam is a contagious disease that spreads like a cancer. It poisons the limbs to the point of decay. Bar Kamtza grew up in Yerushalayim. He was a simple guy. How is he supposed to know to act any better? But Zachar ben Avkolos, you're one of the Rabbanim. You're supposed to know better. And therefore, that's why the Gemara pins it on Zachar ben Avkolos, because he should have known better about Sinas Chinam. He should have had an idea. Bar Kamtza's a regular guy who grew up in a terrible environment. Okay, he messed up. But Zachar ben Avkolos should have known better. This issue of Moshe and Zimri, and Zachar ben Avkolos and Bar Kamtza, the halacha was in front of them for how to act. They had all types of cheshbonos about why not to act, and they were held responsible for not acting, says the Altar. And then he comes to the Lamaisa. He says that it's for this reason that the Bali Musar teach us that it's not enough to look at our actions and see if they are follow what's right and what's wrong. You need to go through all of your actions and dig deeply into what the motivation is behind what you're doing, to see your roots and understand what's growing from the roots inside of you. It's true, says the Altar, that people act with spontaneity. A person gets upset, he has a flash of anger, a person has a moment of weakness. But the reality is that every spontaneous act comes from somewhere inside. There's no such thing, says the Altar, as a spontaneous act that didn't stem from somewhere else. It's the conclusion of a process that's been developing inside of the nefesh. No action or speech comes in a vacuum. I made a mistake. I'm sorry, it just came out. I couldn't control myself. Those are not the reality. Behind every small action are the depths of a neshama that's been developing over time. And it's only this action or speech that has shot out for the world to see. But when we do or say or see those things that are wrong, it comes from something in the neshama that needs to be corrected. I'll read you the words. Musar halev shekol echad v'yachad mi'Yisrael bilvad hatikun l'galosenu, says the Altar. The musar of the heart of every single Jew alone is the only correction for our galus. The geul is up to us. It's in our hands to end the galus and to hasten the geula. And behind the mechitza, says the Altar, that separates us from Hashem, is a voice that's knocking and saying, if you desire, im tirtzu, I don't know if this is a play on Hitler, a play on Herzl, I'm not sure, but im tirtzu, if you desire, you can be redeemed right away. If you want it, you can have it right away. The purpose of Musar is to open our eyes to see what's growing in our nefesh, to uproot any poisonous growth before it matures and becomes an overwhelming force, where it will no longer listen to seichel or ratzon. Chazal are showing us a frightening vision of what things were like before the Chorban. He says the Sri Yesh, it seems like a simple and normal occurrence, but in reality, the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa is an x-ray into the skeleton of Sinas Chinam, and its shadow casts from it. What did they want us to learn? While we're mourning the Chorban of the Beis HaMikdash, says the Altar, we have to mourn the Chorban of our Nefesh. And this mourning is even more bitter, because it's in our hands to do tshuva and rebuild that which was ruined. The Gullus is not just a punishment for Al-Chet Shechatanu of the past. It's for the Chet that we have distanced ourselves from the godliness inside of each and every one of us, the source of love, mercy, and kindness. And that is what we mourn, and that's what we should be thinking about during the 3 weeks. That is the Altar's approach to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, what we should be doing. The only advice I could just add based on what the Sri Yesh is saying and the Altar is saying is that these 3 weeks are a good time to start learning Musar. If you don't learn a Musar Sefer, pick one up. There's more than enough. People, I'm sure, are happy to give out recommendations. a serious Musar Seder, to look and to introspect, to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and to see what is powering us inside. To have, take 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day, I think, is cheap. A half hour a day. Everybody here could probably give, during these 2 weeks, a half hour a day. Break it up, whatever you want, 50 minutes here, 50 minutes there, to have a serious Musar Seder about midos, about how we function, looking inside, introspection, about how we act and how we conduct ourselves, in order to bring that tikkun to the nefesh, which, as the altar says, will bring the ultimate gula.